Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, that's the last chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 28, I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 10. Now, that will be on the overhead. If you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bible, you can see that it's on page 706 of your Pew Bible. So once again, that's Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Hear the Word of God. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word. Now, obviously, we are here this morning to celebrate Easter. Easter is a terrific day. For the children, it brings the arrival of the Easter Bunny, as well as the opportunity for great fun in doing things like dyeing eggs and having Easter egg hunts. We got the jump on that here yesterday. And for the adults, it brings about the chance to break out the new spring duds and to see what everyone else is wearing this year. And speaking of spring, Easter is a time when we celebrate the arrival of spring. There is much said about renewal and flowers and birds and butterflies, and we marvel at the fresh green world around us. But Easter does bring with it some questions. One question is trying to determine, when is Easter? Christmas, the other major Christian holiday, rolls around every December 25th. But what about Easter? Many years ago, in 325 AD to be exact, a church council, the Nicene Council, determined that Easter would be on the first Sunday to follow the new moon that occurs on or immediately after the spring equinox. Now, you got that? There's going to be a quiz later, so you better be prepared. Using this formula, Easter can come anywhere from the end of March to the end of April. And that sometimes makes it a difficult day to plan for. And what about that name, Easter? Well, I mentioned a moment ago that we celebrate Christmas on December the 25th. Well, there's not really any real historical evidence that shows December 25th as the birth date of Jesus. The early Christian church liked to arrange their festivals to coincide with the pagan festivals, the celebrations of the unbelievers. Christians were in the minority, and perhaps they thought that if everyone were celebrating at the same time, it might be easier to proselytize, to get some converts to the Christian faith. So, December 25th was selected as a date to celebrate the birth of Jesus because it coincided with the Romans' festival of the sun. It was a celebration of the winter solstice, of light over darkness, which fit in nicely with Christian thinking. The celebration of Christ's resurrection was certainly connected with the Jewish celebration of Passover. But it also coincided with pagan rituals of the spring. Ostre, E-O-S-T-R-E, was a German goddess of the spring, a German goddess of light, and a German goddess of fertility. Rabbits, eggs. And over time, and some changes in spelling, the festivals kind of got mixed together, becoming the Christian festival of Easter that we celebrate today. So, springtime, equinox, German goddess, pagan festivals. What is Easter? Well, Will Willimon, a United Methodist minister, bishop, author, a dean of Duke Chapel, and currently a professor at Duke University up in God's country, North Carolina. I got some North Carolina people back there visiting today. He addressed that question in one of his sermons. He gave a perceptive, if somewhat unconventional, and even shocking answer to the question of what is Easter? Willimon said, and I quote, "Easter is not about the return of the robin in spring or crocuses or a butterfly coming out of a cocoon or any of that pagan drivel. It's about a body that somehow got loose. The gospel accounts strain to describe what happened, but don't make any mistake about it. They're trying to describe something unearthly. Death working backward. So I can't talk about the eternal rebirth of hope or Jesus living on in our hearts. We're talking about a dead Jew crucified who came back to harass us. And that scares the heck out of us." Unquote. Now, Willimon's explanation can certainly make us feel uncomfortable, especially the choice of the word harass. Perhaps we would find challenge more palatable, more comfortable. But then maybe the whole Christian idea behind Easter, as Willimon said, is to not be so comfortable. To maybe be scared, as Willimon says. Maybe not to be scared, I should say, but to be concerned. Even intimidated by the challenge and the choices presented by this crucified Jewish rabbi, this crucified Jewish teacher who rose from the grave. The scripture that I read to you this morning from Matthew's gospel says that after meeting the angel at the tomb of Jesus, the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Afraid yet filled with joy. Perhaps that's the way to respond to the challenge of Easter. Afraid yet filled with joy. Certainly there should be joy on Easter that the Son of God rose from the grave, overcoming and defeating sin and death with the promise of salvation and eternal life for all of us. That's the gospel. That's the good news of Easter. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. Eternal life. Victory over death. But fear may enter the equation when we ask ourselves, how are we responding to the gospel? How are we responding to the good news right now? Phillips Brooks, a great clergyman of the 19th century, once wrote, "The great Easter truth is not that we are to live newly after death. That is not the great thing. But that we are to be new here and now by the power of the resurrection. Not so much that we are to live forever as that we are to and may live nobly now because we are to live forever." What is Easter? Easter is a reminder that God is still in charge. Since Adam and Eve, humanity has persisted in this illusion that we're in charge. We get impatient when God doesn't work according to our time schedule. We rebel and insist that we are in control and can live without God. What we are doing with our impatience and our rebellion is sinning. And it is for our sins that Jesus went to the cross. And Easter is a painful reminder of that. It's interesting, what with humanity's fear and sorrow, that the first thing Jesus, the risen Savior, says in the Scriptures when He encounters people is, "Fear not. Don't be afraid." Now I have to say, you see a person come back from the dead, and your first inclination is to be afraid. Now, as many of you know, I love the movies. One thing I miss in this online Netflix age that we live in is video stores. It used to be if I had some time to kill, I would love to go look around a video store. A Blockbuster was fine, but I really love the little locally owned mom and pop video stores. Now, I'm not particularly a horror movie fan. It's my son Jake's favorite genre. But I would browse through the horror sections of the video stores. And in the horror sections of those bygone stores, there was always seemed to be a plethora of movies about people returning from the grave. And in those horror movies, what do they always return from the grave to do? To strike fear and to exact horrible and bloody revenge on those responsible for their death. I'm so glad the Easter story is not like those exploitative horror films. Our sins are the reason Jesus died. But He returned from the grave not to seek revenge, but to offer salvation. Not to fill us with fear, but to fill us with hope. What is Easter? Easter is a choice. Easter is a face-to-face encounter with the risen Lord, and it is having to make a choice of who is in charge, me or Him. Now, we would really like to put off that choice, to delay it for as long as possible, but in reality, we have no choice but to choose. Our fear, our doubt may say, "Don't choose now," but selecting not to choose is in itself a choice, and may I say, not a very wise one. We need to choose, and to choose now. Do we belong to Jesus Christ or not? What is Easter? Easter is a new look at life and death. From humanity's point of view, death looks like the final enemy that comes to kill and destroy everything. But at Easter, the risen Lord shows us death from God's point of view. With God, death is a beginning. Death is a doorway to eternal life. What is Easter? Easter is a step towards the future. In John's Gospel, the risen Savior tells Mary not to cling to Him, that He must go to be with the Father. Jesus didn't return from the grave to reinstate the good old days, to replay the 3 years of ministry that preceded His death. Easter was a time that Jesus came to tell His followers that they must be ready for a new day, a time that they would be responsible for spreading the Word of God. While Jesus would be with them and with us through the Holy Spirit, the followers of Jesus must take up the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations. What is Easter? Easter is the statement, Jesus lives. Those early disciples walked and talked with the risen Lord. They witnessed His presence, and it had a profound effect on their lives. They went from cowards to heroes of the faith, many of them becoming martyrs, literally giving their lives for their faith. But what about us? What is it for us when we say Jesus lives? We're not eyewitnesses of the resurrected body. But as Jesus told the Apostle Thomas, something I'll expand on more in my sermon next week, Jesus told Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." And that includes all of us. How can we say Jesus lives? Jesus lives when we let go of our sinful life and turn our lives over to God. What a fearsome and joyful thing. Jesus lives in the grace, in the mercy, and in the love that He gives to us and that we give to others. Jesus lives and meets us where we live, and Jesus tells us, "Don't be afraid. Come to me and experience the joy that only God can give." And that is Easter.